the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome, Brains, to a special edition of the podcast Potluck. Now, many of you know that have been fans of the show for a long time. What is the podcast Potluck? Well, it is where I bring a bunch of thought leaders and we cook it up, okay? And I always have to wear my thinking cap, so that is the purpose for the hat. But up under this hat is a mindful person. And I want to bake in the information. I want to give you soul food. I want to give you food for thought. Okay? That's why we call it the podcast Potluck. Now, we have two great women from South Australia. We have Prue Blackmore. We have Deanna Rothschild. And we have Brigitte Grunstrom. These two ladies are from South Australia. And Brigitte is here with me in California, but originally from Sweden. And these women are not your average cooks in the kitchen. Oh, no, they are stirring up a recipe for success. We're going to talk about consciousness. That's a big $25 word, Brains. It's huge. And so many people just kind of take it for granted. They think that they are entitled. They are spoiled. They don't want to accept responsibility. So we're going to talk about that. Some of the key topics that we're going to cover is your ego. Oh boy, you're going to love that because Brigitte is a master at that. Free will and consequences, your perception, your version of reality, your choices and accountability. And what has all of this taught us? And how are we going to use it to get to the next level? So we're going to go ahead and start. I want you to meet Prue. Prue Blackmore, again, she is from South Australia. And tell my Brains a little bit about you, Prue.
Well, my background is psychiatry and mental health, transpersonal counseling and shamanic practice. I've worked in the field of mental health and well-being and positive psychology and using many traditional practices from around the world. In the service of healing for the client, for the community, for the group of which at any time in our lives we find ourselves a part. So I am genuinely preoccupied and curious about the human condition and how we evolve ourselves on the powerful continuum from birth to death and how we evolve and grow and move forward. And so it's been my life's work, I suppose, and my current process and approach in the world today is simply giving some of this back now to of all the things that I've learned, developed, evolved from all the wonderful teachers and masters that have been in my life. I'm now about giving some of that back through a variety of means.
And you do a fabulous job of it. Brigitte Grunstrom. Okay, Brains. I have worked with Brigitte now, almost 2 years? This would be 2 years, maybe three years almost.
Almost 3 years, I think, yeah.
And, you know, when she told me that she was an ego coach to kind of consolidate it, I was like, what? You cannot contain this ego. But what she has taught me is so, again, she's one of my favorites. And she has been a mentor to me. She's been a teacher. She's been a philosopher. She's been an equalizer. And I really, really appreciate her. So tell us a little bit about you, Brigitte Grunstrom.
Yeah, okay. From the beginning, I have a history in the coaching business for 25 plus years and been training coaches and a kind of a pioneer when it comes to professional coaching back in Sweden. But since I didn't think that was enough, I created an own system of my lifelong philosophy and research, and So I'm a founder of something that we call Life by the System, where the ego is one important part that we need to change how we handle the ego. And instead of suppress the ego, we have to get rid of our defense mechanism system and invite the ego to be a player in the greater good. So it's to me, the ego is the doorway to healing. Instead, it's not the soul. So I kind of, most of the things that we present, it's a kind of reverse to maybe what you want to hear or what you are used to hear. And it was actually April who started to call me an ego coach, because she is an ego coach. Tiny part in the whole system, but I love it. I know.
And it's a lot, but you know, when you want to really grab somebody's attention, you go right for their ego.
No, it's right. Yeah.
Exactly. And we have Deanna Roshan. And Deanna, I really admire the work that you do with social justice, with the work that you do with community leaders, how you have pulled together the Healing Ground Collective and what that means to mankind, not just to your individual group, but the caliber of people that you bring to the table and what you facilitate is huge. Tell my brains a little bit more about you.
Thank you. That's a lovely introduction. My background is really education. I started off in human services in youth work. So I became a trainer back then. So I've always worked in training others in the workplace. And my training in transpersonal art therapy and transpersonal psychology with Prue, actually, who's one of my mentors, has allowed me to really think about training, workplace training, as therapeutic. Because, you know, the more that we can bring the personal and the professional together, the more integrated we can be. And that's a healthy thing for raising our consciousness, which is, we're going to go there in today's conversation. So it's a very interesting space to be in human services, because it attracts a lot of people who want to help others. And this notion of helping as opposed to healing, it is also a contentious subject matter, you know, so enabling others or, you know, the ego actually gets in the way when we think we are helping. So there we go. I've thrown something in the pot there for us to consider.
Well, honey, let me tell you, we're going to stir the pot and we really find out what this ego can do, because this ego is something else. So today, you know, I love to watch other people's podcasts, and I watched a episode of the Red Table Talk. Have any of you seen that with Jada? Well, it might be something that you want to take a look at, because this sister is hitting it on the head. But Will Smith, her husband, sat down at the table today, and he was trying to reconcile a 30-year dispute and feud that he had had with one of his workers that ultimately he had dismissed from his show. With this dismissal of her from the show, it ruined her entire life. She was an accomplished actress and singer and dancer, but he didn't understand the backstory of what she was going through at home. Long story short, he felt like a victim. He felt like he was being bullied. And of course, what do we do in those situations? We get rid of him. You know, you're in my space, you're causing problems, you got to go. Well, he wanted to reconcile that. And he did that with the help of a psychologist. And he brought Janet in to have a conversation. And I watched it, and I watched it intensely. And I learned so much about vulnerability, taking responsibility for one's actions. And so I want to carry this conversation along the same vein. So many times we want to fix others without understanding the tools that it takes and looking at ourselves. And he used a very strong acronym. He used the word love, but spelled L-U-V. That means to listen, understand, and validate. And know when it's your cotton picking turn to talk. A lot of times we get into conversations and debates with people, or we call ourselves trying to reconcile an argument, and we don't listen. We never let them get their thought out completely. And then you have to understand where that person is and then take ownership. So that's a part of consciousness. That's a part of the awakening. Would you agree with that, Brigitte?
Yes, but I think also the reason why it's not that people is not listening, because they actually don't have the ability to hear what other people say because they don't know what they are thinking. And here, this is a part of the ego, because when you are suppressing your own ego, your ego is unconsciously trying to be heard. And it's being heard by focusing on other people's to get the attention. And when it's to get too uncomfortable, and when you get into a conflict, this conflict is hitting on your defense mechanism system that's protecting your ego. And then that's why you don't hear. So actually, it's not, you are not hearing. You don't really have the ability to hear. So it's not that you can't just train people to listening, because you need to get behind what's value behind the way you are hearing.
So there again comes perception. I learned something very interesting. I was at an event and they had us to all break into different groups. And within that group, they said, ask certain questions. So my question was, what if we all started to tell the truth? And everybody's light bulb went off. People can't handle the truth. But what I also realize is that everyone has a different perception of the truth and what their truth is. And they will lie, and they're lying, but it's not a lie to them. It is their internal reality. Exactly. How do we deal with managing our perception, Prue?
Well, it's a very interesting conversation. And just reflecting back on the listening thing, listening is an art. It's not a skill, it's an art. Most people, when they're communicating with other people, hear about the first four or five words, and then they're already formulating an answer to that. So they don't hear the rest of the story. So you do need to train yourself to stop and hear things. And you're absolutely correct, April. We all operate in a universe that is uniquely our own. We all think we're in the same universe, sharing the same experience. And while on one level, a small part of that is true, our perception of what's going on is entirely different and entirely unique to the person, their genetic makeup, their life experience, the program they were given as a child on how to be in the world. And most humans spend about 85% of their time looking good and being right, because we are all given this false set of insight into what it's all about. Most humans play this game that Kaufman identified as the drama triangle, where, the World Health Organization estimates that about 93% of all families on the planet are dysfunctional. So it's very normal to operate this way. But when we're communicating with someone, when we're perceiving something, we start playing this game both in our heads and with the other, where if someone wants to make us a victim, you did that to me, then the invitation to the other person who's just been spoken to is, oh God, if I've done that to them, then I'm responsible for it and I've got to fix it. I've got to make it better. And so that person becomes the persecutor, and that's a very uncomfortable position. Even people in jail don't like being that kind of thing. No one wants to be the persecutor. So they're then invited to step over into the other part of the triangle, which is the rescuer. And then they'll sell themselves out to fix it. And this game of victim, persecutor and rescuer goes around and around and around, and it's all built on pain and it's all built on lies and it's all automatic and programmed into us from a young age. We've all had that look that can freeze us at 10 paces from our mother. Right. We've all had that, look what you've done to your mother, this kind of thing. So we're all programmed to be responsible for the things we are not responsible for, which is everything that another human being thinks, feels, says, and does. Mm. And we are trained to not be responsible for the things that we are responsible for. which is everything that we think, feel, say, and do. So we get all tangled up and enmeshed in this drama triangle of pain where we're trying to fix something in someone else that we can't. They're trying to get us to do that, and back and forth it goes, and there's no honesty in it. There's no vulnerability in it. There's a distortion of perception where you end up arguing about the truth, and therein goes any hope of resolution. So in life, in this process, we have to become fully responsible for ourselves and fully detached from anything that is offered to us. If someone's saying to us, "You make me angry," the only response to that is, "No, I don't have that power." Mm. If you're upset or angry at something that I'm doing, then that's your choice and your responsibility to fix it. I'm happy to have a conversation with you about it and happy to look at behavior change that might be triggering it, but I don't own your anger. That's yours and yours alone. And so in that sense, we have to become, in order to awaken our consciousness, we have to become completely responsible for ourselves and let go of what society teaches us, that is to be responsible for everybody else. Now, when we learn to do that and start to love ourselves unconditionally, then we will naturally lean into the community and want to help them and want to grow them and want to be a part of it. But, yeah, it's a very tangled web that we must untangle from first.
Okay. Now, I am the only piece of pepper in the salt shaker here. Okay. And so you three women have had a very different experience. Mm-hmm. You know, even collectively between the three of you, your experience has been different, but it's been extremely different from mine. Yeah. Now, you two from South Australia, we've had this conversation about the First Nations people, the Indigenous people, and how they're being treated. And Brigitte, I've been, you know, I was her first brownie that she's ever worked with, you know, and that makes me happy.
It's a black widow.
Yes, and that is what, that is my name. So we all have spider names. And so my spider name is the Black Widow, and I am true to that. But I want to talk about free will and consequences. Now, I believe in Jesus Christ, and in the Bible, it tells me that God has given me free will. But that's not to act a fool, and that is to accept responsibility for your actions, as Prue said, and to manage your ego, as Brigitte said. But Deanna, how do we work with people that are overrun with it, that they feel that they have this privilege?
Very pertinent to what is going on in South Australia right now, as we've just
in the world.
Yes. And we've just gone into a tight lockdown here in South Australia. So we've got egos and projections flying all around. I mean, last night I turned my phone off because I just thought, oh, this is a circus. But this is what we've got. We've got people who want to be right. We've got people who want to be in control, a small group of people who are in control. And this idea of free will and power and privilege, it's very interesting. And the dynamics here in Australia are complex. They're political. There are some interesting things going on here in the spiritual community in Australia, and yet the most ancient wise ones are still denigrated and treated like, you know, they know nothing and they're not worth, you know, they're worthless somehow. What do we do about it? I think in this age of, I would call it a police state. I think we're living in a police state. I think we do have to be careful and mindful about how we're going to navigate and create the world that we want to live in. For example, do I necessarily want to get arrested tomorrow if I was to go outside and blatantly protest at the restrictions that are being put on upon me? I don't want to get arrested tomorrow, right? I am prepared to put myself on the line, but at the moment, you know, I'm choosing my battles. I mean, I'm just being really honest with you about that. Protests are going on all around the world in many different countries. People are being arrested left, right, and centre for nothing, for having for trying to exercise their free will. Like there's, you know, you're allowed to protest. Thailand, Hong Kong, Czechoslovakia, you know, Adelaide, Melbourne. It's just everywhere people are protesting, and the attempts are to lock us away, you know, all of us. And yes, I do have more power and privilege than my Aboriginal brothers and sisters. And if I was, you know, I guess if I can put myself in their shoes, you know, they're already incarcerated at a very high rate. So I can't expect any of them to be on the front line because they've already been persecuted for so long, you know. So maybe it is our job to step up to the plate, you know, and start fighting for freedoms that actually Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been saying, this is our land, we want these freedoms, you know. So in some ways, you know, it's very complex. I'm not quite sure the white Australian community have worked through that, and that for Aboriginal people this coronavirus is a different experience. It's like, oh well, you know, we've already dealt with restrictions on our movement. Mm-hmm. We've been there.
And you know what? In all honesty, they probably have the cure, but nobody's probably asked them. I believe that. Okay. Something that you touched upon is that, you know, we had a new lockdown here in San Diego, California, and people don't know how to, the politicians, I don't think they really want to take away your freedom. I think they want to protect us, but they know no other way. Mm-hmm. You know, they've never dealt with anything like this before. This is of monumental proportion. And everyone thinks that they're doing what is best, what is right. But Agita, why do people have such a need to always win and feel a need to seek out perfection? They never allow themselves to have a margin of error. They always want to win at whatever cost, lie, cheat, steal, kill, manipulate. Why is that, do you think?
The reason for that is that some of you said we are raised in a box of rules. This is how the society is. There is a right, there is a wrong way, and that's the truth we have been taught. This is how it should be. And it's the polarization with different parties, and either you are against or you are with. Instead of, so this dualistic thinking creates the conflict. And it creates the conflict because people don't know where to go instead. So instead of protest, if everyone knew, and this is what I'm doing, so that's my passion, for if every single individual knew where their own purposes were, they wouldn't waste time on protesting. They would do something productive that created the world they want to see. But right now, people are stuck in the society's rules and they are following, and they think that, as you said, the police is right. And they don't question, does it have to be? They don't realize that this is something that's made up by people, and therefore it also can be changed. But they need to get their own strength from the inside, and it starts with the ego, because what's happening, and I'm coming back to this, our defense mechanism system that is protect our ego for us to holding back, and it has been a good survival tool back in time. But now when our consciousness had increased, we don't need the defense mechanism system, and we can realize, because this is also a value, that the ego is something that's bad. You are a better person if you are focusing on the spirituality and you are doing good for others. Why do you want to help others? Yes, because that's something the society has said. You are a good person if you are helping others. So instead of starting with helping yourself, because that's a judgmental, that you are too egoistic. And that's the wrong side. So before people realize that your power is in your ego, and when you connect your ego with the purpose of your soul, you have the power and the action to move this world forward. So all problem is deeper than just change behavior. That's it, it's too hard. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you have a very unique gift of using different modalities, but talk therapy. And I've gotten these incredible downloads. And, you know, a download, all of us know what that is. It is an injection of information that you have to act on. You know, it's like getting a shot of heroin. You got to do something with it. You can't just sit on it. And Prue, you have a very unique way of taking someone there, because I had never in my life ridden on the back of a dragon until I hooked up with you. And I was like, what is this? And I went through this meditation. Brains, and now Brigitte, you know how I love to name stuff. I got to find a name for my dragon. And Prue said that the name will just come when you're ready. But I was on this mental journey with you. I mean, I literally thought about that. And what brought that back up was, again, today. In the interview with Will Smith, he talked about his dragon. So this is, you know, this is new to me as far as traveling on this journey. But you take people through so many metaphors. You know, you're up, you're down, are you flying, you're falling, you're falling, you're falling. I was with you the whole way. How did you develop this gift, and where are you trying to take people in your meditations? Where are you trying to take their consciousness to, their subconscious to, their heart to?
Well, in truth, we are an evolving species, and we are on the cusp now of a great evolutionary leap. But the evolutionary leap is one of consciousness. And, you know, this little egoic structure of ours, and I agree with Brigitte, it's vitally important. And, you know, there are people who haven't, in the concept of developmental psychology and object relations theory, shall we say, have not developed a good ego, a well-structured ego. In its most primitive form, we meet psychosis. In people who can't hold it together, we get things like borderline personality disorders, where they just fragment all the time. People like us sitting here, the worried well, the moving forward, we have a good, solid egoic structure. But ultimately, we are moving beyond that. The ego is the bridge between the world that we encounter and the divine that rests within us. And our conscious mind makes up about 10% of the activity. The rest is this vast iceberg underneath. So all the work that I'm doing is designed to connect people to, for the ego is the bridge between the two. So how do we allow and encourage the ego to become more cognizant of its role in life, rather than needing to dominate the world, rather than needing, and humans are immensely competitive species, let's not kid ourselves. But, you know, the ego needs to be brought in service to the divine within, rather than being totally preoccupied with what's going on out there. We are forward-looking predators. So we see externally first. But everything we see externally is a direct mirror of what's going on internally. So if we are victimized, it's because we're holding that wound within. If we are overwhelmed, if we see the world as a dark and hostile place, it's because that's the wound that we are carrying inside of us. So all the work is designed to heal those wounds, to release that misperception that who we are is not enough, that who we are is not divine. And everything in society, school, law, government, all of it is designed to keep us in our box, to not recognize that we are the divine authors of our own existence. Mm. And as we navigate and strengthen our ego, then that becomes the tool of the divine to allow us to love ourselves completely, and through loving ourselves completely, so too shall we love the world, for that becomes our mirror. And as I said, when we're all loving the world as we love ourselves, there will be no conflict. We've got a long way to go, by the way, but my sense is that once this leap of consciousness unfolds, we'll be in a quite a different place, and can build a different reality and a different world, much more harmonious with the great feminine of Gaia and much more powerfully in community with each other.
Two things I want to touch on. I want to jump to Brigitte real quick because you taught me something that was very valuable. You taught me about the word trust.
Yeah.
We had a long conversation in our session about trust.
Yes.
You know, and how trust can actually hold you hostage. Instead of it being a belief system of something that you honor or something that you give, because I'm not a very trustful person. I'm going to tell you, brains, you know, I'm nice, but I don't trust everybody. Everybody does not start with 100% with me. You get about 65 and then we're going to ratchet up or ratchet down, you know? And again, that is where I am from. As a Black woman, that is my protection. That is my shield. That is my superpower. To be able to edit and filter, to be able to pause, to be able to look at it, to be able to taste it. And if it don't pass the sniff test, out you go. Simple as that. But tell them a little bit about how you shared that with me about the word trust and what that could potentially really mean.
I would say the only thing you really can trust as we mean it is the process, the evolutionary process, because that's pure. There is nothing there. But when you start to say that you are trust in people, it's always conditioned with something. If you don't do in this in the way I wanted to do, I don't trust you. So if you instead find the trust in the process you are going through, you don't have to play with the trust, because trust creates conflicts and that keeps you hostage, because okay, we are doing business, you and me, and I trust you. So I trust you to watch my house. I trust you to take care of my animals. Either you know it will be in a good way or you don't. So trust is put people in a weak position.
Right.
And it comes back because you can't trust. Well, I love what you said, Prue. I just want to give you an applause for saying this, that the ego is the bridge so we can connect and download all the information. And the reason we cannot trust is because you cannot trust the ego as long as we have the defense mechanism system that's there and protect it, because that's what makes people act weird. And if someone is hitting the ego where it hurts, it do something else. And you express it so well, so I don't have to say it even more. But that's why. So skip the trust and just do what feels right for you and start to develop your own ego. Because then I also will say, when you find the way, and that's my specialty, to really connect with your ego, I would say the consciousness is a consequence. Because now people think they can develop the consciousness to go to a class in mindfulness, is to just to do the meditation. And the meditation is just a temporary release from the ego.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, back again, Prue. I am so honored to be here and your expression. And I understand that April got on a dragon. I love it.
Oh, you don't know, honey. I was holding on. Oh, she said, you're falling. Then she said, you're flying. And I was moving around. I'm like, I'm in my den. I am not flying. I was flying. I was there with you. Went on that journey with you. Now, Deanna, Prue has taught us that the only portal through this situation is love. It's love. Mm-hmm. Love is conditional. Again, brains, I got conditions on my love. Because you come at me with some crazy stuff, you hitting on me and mistreating my child, or you done kill somebody in my family. I don't know if I'm mature enough, even at 58, to handle that, okay? Love is one of another things that is required in the Bible to get you to the next level. And it seems like it's so simplistic, but it can be so difficult. Mm-hmm. Tell me about love. What does love mean to you, Deanna?
Well, that's a big question to ask me.
It is a big question.
Yeah. Before I answer that, I was thinking about both Brigitte and Prue and what they're talking about, these things that keep us in a box, which keeps us in fear, you see, the opposite of love. And all of these all of these things are playing out very heavily in this year of 2020, where all of us have kind of had this moment to look at the systems that are at play, and we're questioning. And this is allowing us to raise our consciousness collectively, which is, you know, we're all witnessing that. Can we love the coronavirus? Can we love everything that is happening to us? Can we love the lockdown? Can we love all of the politicians that, you know, maybe doing some dodgy things? Well, there are some people that are doing dodgy things. This is the challenge, and it's a work in progress. It's an everyday moment-to-moment opportunity. I'm not saying it's not hard, because, you know, it is really hard. This year, I think, has been, for those who are willing to grow, this has been an exceptional year for all of us, and we have moved, you know, we've taken that quantum leap, I guess you could say. But as Prue said, there's a lot of work to do. I mean, we've got a situation, an example right here in Adelaide right now, where the blame game is going bananas. Mm-hmm. Now, these are egos, just the politicians not wanting to take responsibility, you know. So we've got leaders in these positions who are totally out of integrity, not showing us any leadership, not showing us how to be inspiring. Are we taught to love ourselves? No, I think the big system at play is that you don't love yourself, because you got to go and get all this stuff to fix yourself. You got to be spend your whole life thinking, like, how can I be better than this version of myself, or how can I be like the Joneses? This is the system that we're in, and this is the system that is collapsing. And Prue knows a lot more about that than me, and is able to articulate that in a much better way. But we are kind of, I feel like we're like slowly dismantling these things, where we're going, oh, that's really, really, really dysfunctional. We cannot have a future of those systems. That box that both Prue and Brigitte keep saying, this is the box that keeps us, we've got to smash out of it. Individually, collectively, how else are we going to get to unity consciousness? I don't know.
I don't know how we're going to get through the end of the year. But what happens is we put our faith in other individuals. People put their faith in the church. They put it in the politician. They put it in their accountant. They look, they don't have any money. They put all of that. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 36 years, and I adore him. But I always told him, I leave about this much more for me, because folks change their mind. And we didn't come here together. We're not going to leave together. We're going to go in two different directions, because we're on two different planes. And people want to do the blame game. They don't want to accept responsibility. But then they'll come with this sorry, this apology. And me and Deanna have had this conversation. You know, my mother doesn't believe in the words, I'm sorry. When a person is remorseful and they are trying to get themselves together, what are some of the first action steps that you think that they should take, Brigitte? What are some things that they should concentrate on to make themselves adjust to this new normal? Does that make sense?
Yeah, a little bit, but I would like just to say something about love. And maybe this is a theory, but it's a different way to look at love, and it's connected to the ego again, because there is a huge difference. And I think what people mean, it's not love, is what, in the way most people relate to it, is connected to something else, a person or animal or something. I love this. It's an interaction with something else, and that connection belongs to the ego. What we really are looking for, and what I think we mean, is that we need compassion. Because compassion is the only thing that's unconditional. And that's why when you get to that point, and you cannot be unconditional as long as you have an ego that's trying to take in place. And that's nothing wrong. I mean, the ego deserves love, and you can love people and you have the relationship. It's nothing wrong, but it should come from the right place. And when we talk about how are we going to say the word, it's compassion we mean. And that's something that's harder to reach. And we can't save the world with love. I mean, we have to change the way we are thinking. I know it's
definition, right. And the responsibilities that are attached to that, much like the word trust. There's conditions on that. Yes. With love, it has to be attached to something. It can't be something that's floating out there.
We're talking about two kinds of love.
Okay.
There is eros, the love of the physical body, ego, connected to the world. That is erotic love, eros. Mm-hmm. And then there is the other love that Brigitte is referring to, which is known as agape, spiritual love, which is compassion for all that lives, for all that walks. And if you're going to take responsibility for yourself, your actions, everything that you think, feel, say, and do, then yes, there's often in many cases a need to go out and make recompense to address some of the things that we've done, to take back some of the things we've done. But the words "I'm sorry," an apology without behavior change is simply a manipulation.
That's right.
And people do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's all part of that process of fear directing traffic. But when we have the strength to be vulnerable, and it takes a great deal of strength to be vulnerable. Anyone can be a control freak. All that takes is a belly full of fear. But to be vulnerable and to allow ourselves to feel and more powerfully express our feelings, that I feel afraid, I feel hurt, I feel disappointed, and acknowledge that and feel that in the presence of another, running the risk of being humiliated, denigrated, used and abused in the face of it, that is courage. That is power. That is strength. And for us to learn to trust the world, we have to have the strength and courage to trust ourselves enough that we can be vulnerable.
Yes.
That we can share ourselves. And it doesn't matter what someone else does with that reality, because that's a reflection of them, not me. But we're trained in being responsible for others. That's what keeps everyone walking on eggshells all the time. Mm-hmm. That if we upset the other, then we have to fix it. But when we can bring it all back within ourselves, when we can have the strength and the courage to dare to be vulnerable, to express it, and damn the consequences, then we are moving forward powerfully in a way that allows the agape, the spiritual love and compassion, to be held for ourselves by ourselves. And again, that then becomes the mirror that we see in the world.
Don't preach, preach. Okay, that is it. It is a mirror reflection. And I tell people all the time, it starts with you. You know, you out here trying to fight a 21st century war with 1960 tactics, it ain't happening. They're sending in drones, they're not even sending in people. And here we are still marching, you know, because we have not learned to do anything else. We have become comfortable with the status quo, that you will believe a lie instead of addressing the truth, that you will conjure up a lie instead of trying to be, forthright and be accountable for your actions. That's all that we're asking for. And if people would allow this time, I call it the perfect pause, to let this soak in and resonate, because now they have fatigue, ladies. You know, they tired, okay? People's businesses are being affected. Their relationships are being affected. They're homeschooling. The kids are depressed, you know. But all of this is to teach us a lesson, because if you don't feel the pain, you're not going to know what it feels like to enjoy the pleasure. Mm-hmm. And if we don't consolidate and get this stuff together right now and take it on to, you know, 5G and to the next level. Can you only imagine all this stuff we're going through amplified at 5G? Mm-hmm. It's a nightmare. Yeah. Brigitte, yes.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Prue. As I see it, if we should focus on what is the main problem we have to change the world, isn't that our defense mechanism system has played out its role and we need to help people to go behind and find this process that we go behind and just because all this preaching about, yeah, you have to be a better person, you should love, you should forgive, you should do this and this and that. That people want to, but they are not capable because we have this psychological defense mechanism system that's still there, and they need to know how do we do to go behind it. What do you say about that, Prue?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, Brigitte. I mean, we are heavily programmed from birth, from conception, let's be honest, to exist in a certain way, to believe in a certain way, to defend ourselves resolutely in the face of all external assault. And you're right, we have well-developed neurotic complexes and defense mechanisms that lead to blind spots that prevent us. We have to break out of the program. It's the only answer. Mm. Now, that's not easy work, but it is the essential work. And there are ways of going about that. There are therapy works, particularly the right kind of therapy. I'm not a fan of talking therapy. I think it just tends to re-traumatize people and leave them with a double set of problems. But transpersonal work, shamanic work. There are many wonderful tools for breaking open that box. Mm-hmm. But the journey is within. You're right. The journey is within, going within, however you do it, whether we're riding backs of dragons and healing that way, whether we are doing rituals in shamanic practice, whether we are working with a really good therapist who knows how to get to the seed of the pain. Because when you get rid of the original wound that gives rise to all of these defense mechanisms, when you clean out that emotion, then there's no longer a need for the defense mechanism to reside, and then you can operate more truthfully out of the love of self that you are. So in short answer, yes, Brigitte, I agree with you. We've got to break all that open and allow the self to rise.
Now, Deanna, let's talk a little bit about meditation, okay? Because I have gotten, you know, dreams. When I work with Brigitte, my downloads come in dreams. Mostly. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the back of this dragon, I'm in meditation with Prue. But I'm going to be honest with you. I had to dial back on both of those because my downloads were heavy. They required action. They were that injection. And the meditation was making me ask questions and making me do things. And it was so much. It was so intense. Okay, and people don't understand that. Oh, I hear them, oh, well, I meditate every day for 3 or 4 hours. Well, good for you, because my brain really can't process all of that. I need to have time to sit in it. Mm. I need time to accept what it is and to get my way of working it. I've got to figure out how to navigate this. I've got to figure out what to do, you know. You have a laundry list of all the chores that you need to do within the course of a day. You don't tick off every box. Some things you just don't get done. Mm-hmm. And it's a responsibility. So as we navigate through this, I'm going to kill this person. Hey, look, No. This is funny. I'm going to leave this in because I jumped right to violence. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to take this call and I'm going to pause what I'm doing and I'm going to give it my undivided attention. First thing I went to was hostility. I'm going to kill this person. So that's what we have to do. Yeah.
We are still human and we have the right to act on that, to react on that. And we have to accept and have fun with it as well.
Fun matters.
Yes, absolutely. And this was fun.
But Agita, the thing about you is that you live, you know, not isolated, but pretty isolated. And you live with all animals. Yeah. And you love that. And you speak their language.
Yeah.
What is it about the nonverbal and the love and the compassion and the wisdom that you get from these animals without having any verbal communication and not even being in the same physical form.
It just, I mean, every single animal have a verbal communication as well, or expression. I mean, they have different sounds, and so they are not completely quiet, and you learn what they mean. I mean, especially the chickens know, here is food, here is that, and that. So they actually talk. But otherwise, animals are easy because they don't have this ego with the defense mechanism system. They are pure in their ego. I want food. I'm hungry. I want to do this. I like that. I don't like this. So it's so, what you say, they are truth. I want this. No big deal. They don't try to walk around and express it. They are not afraid of rejection as people are. So they ask and they are given. It's easy. You also have the right to get mad. I get irritated, and I can be that too with them. Mm-hmm. So it's a mutual respect or disrespect. So you have a fight with the animals too, that you don't really like what they are doing. But it's in the now. When it's done and you have had a kind of a conflict, we walk away, and then we are back to our friendship again. We are not processing in and repeat it for 10 years. And
it's your mess and you know, pettiness and who wants to be right, who wants to be wrong.
No, and now and then you move on. You solve it and then you move on, because it's just the future that exist, the now and the future.
Well, Deanna, you work in the public sector, so you're dealing with a different kind of animal. You're dealing with the human animal, the human species. How do you resolve conflict? Because that's what I want to close up with this, and I want us to have some tools to take away. You know, conflict resolution is huge. And again, sometimes you have to surrender. There was a woman was trying to get at me. You know, I have my Black Lives Matter sweatshirt on and all that, and she's standing behind me and those people and all this and all that. And I turned around and I looked at her and I said, and you're absolutely right. And those people should be banished from the target. They are mean, they're nasty, they're rude. And if there's anything I can do to support you in your efforts to make a better world, let me know. She went from the 12th floor down to the basement. Her face turned beet red. She was upset because she could not engage me. So now you're dealing in this public sector and you're hearing conversations that a quote unquote privileged white woman is going to hear, where they wouldn't have that conversation if I walked into the room. How are you interjecting to reduce the conflict and bring awareness and some sort of sensitivity to difficult situations and difficult people?
Mm. Yes, I have been in those situations in the public sector, in the helping professions, and I find it fascinating, again, that, you know, the human services sector is full of many egos. And I want to use the word identity. I think we haven't used that word in this conversation, but it's very much linked to the ego. And we have these workplace identities that we put on when we go to work.
Right.
And often we behave at work in different ways that we don't act when we're home or with our family. And this is also can be a problem. It's also a safeguard, actually, because there is a professional, the professional boundaries. But mostly people at work are going about their business, egos are bouncing off one another, people are being offensive and people are being offended moment to moment in workspaces. And generally, people don't say anything. People end up either crying in their office, in their team leader's office, or going to HR or putting in a grievance. Rarely, you know, do they face the person and work it out. I mean, you know, this is workplace policy 101, is that you should sort out the grievance with the person first. That's the first point. But most often that doesn't happen because of so many things that we've discussed here on this show, being defense mechanisms and survival mechanisms that, you know, are drilled into us very, very early on. And if you have experienced trauma in your own life and you've got an experience of being oppressed or suppressed or harmed by mother, father figure, then all of this plays out in the workplace. It just continues to happen.
It does, but it spills over into every aspect of your life. You know, if you're an ugly person at school and you're a bully, you're that same ugly person bully at home at the dinner table. You're that same ugly bully person, you know, and a lot of times it is trauma that people have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm not giving them a pass. That's mm-hmm. not an excuse. Because mm-hmm. you've been traumatized does not give you the right to victimize me. But I can only be a victim if I'm allowed. And I yes. allow myself.
Mm-hmm. But as Brigitte was saying earlier, we don't have the skills to snap out of it or to get out of it or even to see those things in our blind spots. And so much stuff that happens at work is, you know, people's blind spots. You just cannot see. No one goes, really genuinely, people don't go to work to offend their work colleagues.
Right.
It happens moment to moment. You know, as you say, you're in the tea room and there's a conversation going on between two, you know, privileged people, and, you know, the person of colour walks in the room and, you know, and it is a, and that's offensive conversation. It happens all the time, everywhere. The thing that I guess I've been lucky to spend some time with some First Nations mentors and leaders, it has to be interrupted. You know, there's things that need to be said in the moment. They are, they're learning moments, they're teaching moments. But again, Prue mentioned courage. You've got to be courageous. If you want to educate others, you've got to find, and it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
It actually takes practice. And I remember one of the first conversations I had to have with a team member about their cultural fitness or lack thereof. I was nervous as well, because people are so sensitive about their work. People go to work and think they do a fabulous job and they only want to do a fabulous job. And sometimes when you share with someone that what they've said was offensive, it's horrifying to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, that's the ego being horrified.
Right.
The ego is horrified.
Right.
Yeah.
But
and that's what's
your friend.
Yeah, that's got to be deconstructed. Yeah.
Okay, it's really quickly. Prue, I want to talk to you about, you know, identity and identifying who we are, and also about our future. You know, I'm concerned now. I told you that dragon ride tripped me out. but you know, where are we? Because I don't want to be fearful. I want to be strategic. I want to be smart. You know, Brigitte hears me talk about that all the time. You know, I have an alter ego of loving dictators, not because of what they do, but how they do it. Okay. It, because it's a whole mindset. And that's what everybody's talking about. They're throwing this out, you know, mindset, mindset, mindset. Tell us, what is mindset and how do we set our mind to get through this?
Well, if we're looking at the egoic structure here, I mean, Freud's work, despite the limitations of being a privileged white male in Venice a couple hundred years ago, where women were treated in a certain way, I mean, his breaking down of the egoic structure into the id, the primary impulse, I want, I have, the ego and the superego, which is the voice of conscience, otherwise known as the holdfast tyrant and is a nasty bully of a thing. And the ego negotiates between the world, between the two of them and the world. But, you know, when we're looking at how we engage the world, the work of Jung and Campbell and people like that, you know, where they talk about the masks that we wear, mm-hmm. and the ego has 1,000 masks. It really does. You know, we have the mask that we wear for our mother. We have the mask that we wear for our employment, for our children, for our best friends, for... a variety of things. The thing is, we are on the cusp of this evolution. It's going to happen whether we are prepared or not. It's going to happen whether we have done the work or not. And how well we navigate through it as it unfolds will be influenced by the amount of work we've done, by our ability to remove the masks and not be different for our mother or our employer or our children, but to be the authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we're doing in terms of identity is moving towards authenticity. Mm-hmm. And Brigitte and Deanna and everyone's all talking about the same thing, that we must release the defense mechanisms. We must step out of the box. We must have courage. We must evaluate every day. Whenever we're feeling angry with someone, whenever we're doing that, we're giving our power to it. Bring it back. What is really at the seed of my anger? What am I actually angry about? And it's usually because they haven't done something for us, or they haven't done the right thing by our own interpretation. but everyone lives in this unique bubble of creation and reality. So it's the movement towards authenticity, the stripping away of the mask, the owning of everything that we think, feel, say, and do, and stop blaming, stop projecting, stop getting caught in the drama triangle, simply owning and breathing it up, breathing it up. And then ask your inner self, what do I need to know here? What do I need to learn here? There's a wealth of information waiting to tap into us, but it's quite Star Trek-y. They can't interfere unless we ask. So we must get into the habit of asking spirit for help. Spirit, what do I need to know about this situation? Mm-hmm. The answers will come, but we're usually so busy caught up in trying to figure it out with the lunatic part of our brain that hasn't got a clue about anything that's going on really, and we should stop listening to that dribble and take a step back and say, there is a path forward, and humility and courage and vulnerability are its cause.
Okay. Now, Nikita, as we start to wrap this up, what are your final thoughts? What would you like to share with my brains and with, you know, just with humanity and society?
I would share one trick to practice for everyone. When you meet someone that gets you hit into someone's defense mechanism, try to be... try to play the game of this compassion and soft land the conversation by saying whatever person who is angry, who is whatever is doing, just like, oh, interesting. Oh, I understand. Can you explain a little bit more? Because you need to soft landing down. Because if you know that this person actually is a good soul behind what he or she is expressing right now, if you really feel that, you will give that person a chance. Please say and let us know what's going on. And by giving them and yourself some time by saying, that sounds interesting, can you explain a little more? I want to hear more. That was well said. I don't please teach me more about it. And then you just relax, and when you can solve lots of conflicts or tiny conflicts by that, then Prue is nodding. I can see that.
Absolutely spot on.
Brigitte, please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. You can go back and follow her Life Spider System. I tell you, it is a coaching and a teaching and a training that you have never experienced before. This is not your normal hype session to sit there. You go deep. And people say, oh, well, I don't want to go deep. Well, you better go deep, because that's the only place that we got left to go.
Yeah, if you want to move forward, go deep and go high. I mean, it's the tree, big roots, big trees. That's
exactly.
How it is, yeah.
Don't plant seeds, plant an orchard. Mm-hmm. And always grab the low-hanging fruit, because that's ripe. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, please, madame.
Just go to lifespideracademy.com. lifespideracademy.com, and there is stuff you can begin with to start to get to know what is the life spider, what could the life spider do for you, and see what feels right for you, because there are lots of on-ramps you can go and do. And right now I have this energy surfing project that actually is a teaching how you get more happiness and ease in your life. So that's a very good start right now to make people feel happy, because then the defense mechanism will soften out a little bit and we will have more peace.
Well, you know, that's another one of those big $25 words is happiness. That's another kind of high, because people are always trying to, what's going to make me happy? What is going to, is it that car? Is it that job? Is it that man? Is that hairdo? Instead of learning to just level off and be content and be happy in the moment.
Yes.
Okay. I had a friend, her brother died. She's preparing his memorial service. Her husband's carrying in the table. He drops dead. She's got her husband and her brother in the morgue at the same time. Mm. You know, people are not able to settle in with this. They don't understand it. It is like speaking a foreign language, not even a foreign language. This is like, you know, some science fiction stuff. Prue, not only I want you to tell us how to get in contact with you, but what would be some words of encouragement to help us get through? Just one or two basic things that we need to do to try to get through this?
One of the things to remember about our emotions, and they're the things that tip us up, they're the things that have us behave in weird and wacky ways, defensively, with aggression or passive aggression or defensiveness. It's the emotional trigger that sets that off. And it's really important to remember that our emotions, there's no negative emotions. That's just another bullshit line we've been given. That all emotions are here to inform us, and an emotion can inform us in one heartbeat what 1,000 books couldn't tell us. But it's really important to remember that our emotions are fleeting and transient. Happiness, anger, sadness, all of it, they fear, they are fleeting and transient. And it's important for us to remember to simply breathe them up. Take a deep breath into it, 3 breaths into it, and then they're gone, and then you'll get the aha moment. Mm. So our emotions are like the clouds in the blue sky drifting across the sky. What we've got to remember are that we are the clear blue sky above it all. And if we can remember that we are the clear blue sky above it all, then we will stay detached. We will experience it in the moment, let it go, and move on. It keeps us in the now moment. And if you want to get in touch with me, I'm at www.thrivebydesign.com.au, and I'm also wonderfully engaged with Deanna in her marvelous Healing Ground Collective. But I think for all of us, seriously, we just take a step back. Take a step back. Love is the only way. And yes, there are many forms of love, and it's the thing we fear the most, despite our banging on about it all the time. I mean, if you've ever experienced that agape, it is quite overwhelming. It's glorious, yes, but overwhelming.
Yes.
And so we must learn to step back, take the chill pill, relax, not get too engaged in the drama of the moment, because that just hooks us into taking sides in the duality. And the minute we've done that, we're hooked in the game. Step back. Take a deep breath, love yourself, feel gratitude for something, and move forward that way.
All right. Deanna, you are in the driving. You're the driver. You're our Uber driver. And you are driving us on the Healing Ground Collective. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, and really, what is your purpose and your mission for creating the Healing Ground Collective?
Well, this is about bringing people together. It's a new way of being with one another. It's the digital world that we want to be, where it's a space of peace, it's a space of compassion, dignity, humility, and it's an opportunity for people to learn, really, and raise our consciousness together. I think we're stronger together. There's lots of people out there who are doing amazing things, and I know that what is required for us to move to the next level is for us to put our resources together and to think, how can we do this together? Because we live in a world that pushes us into isolation, and that's evident everywhere in all communities, in all societies, and the Western world has done that very systematically and successfully, and we're seeing so much fallout from that. I'd say that process is a direct correlation to the levels of mental health, being disconnected from not only from a community, a loving community, but then you become disconnected from yourself is what we've been talking about today. So the further away you get from yourself and your true authentic self, then the greater fragments you're going to have and challenges in moving forward. So the Healing Ground Collective is about healing those things, healing trauma. We talk about that. We have a social network that is outside of the big platforms, and we've deliberately created that so that we can have a private, safe space, free of ads and spam. We're not being tracked, all of those good things. And, that's what we're about, and we're having fun as well. So that's important.
We are. And, Brains, again, we went long on this, but this is valuable information. I need you to just kind of sit in it and resonate and let it soak in like some good marinade in a filet mignon, okay? my hat is off to all of you ladies. Thank you so much for your time, for your energy, for your dedication. I am fans of all of you, and I'm so glad that you're a fan of me on the edge. My brains need you. They want you. And we're going to make it through this, you know? And if I don't make it through, I've made peace. And that's all.
A little tip, lovey.
Yes.
You know how you were saying that you get overwhelmed by meditation or, you know, the downloads and everything else?
Yes, sometimes.
It's really important. You know, there's a wonderful thing you can do when you go to bed at night, that as you put your head on the pillow, you just say, tonight in my dreamscape, I will journey to my higher self for education, training, and healing. And off you go. But the thing to say, whenever you're feeling overwhelmed, it's important to ask spirit, I will accept all the changes in the world you offer me, but at a pace I can tolerate. And trust me, they'll slow it down. They'll slow it down.
You can put a request, because see, I was just going with whatever I'm told. You know, when you
put in a request.
Like, just do it.
Yeah. Request. And please, tonight, I don't want to have any teaching at all. Just let me sleep at a human being.
Yep, you can do that too.
That works too.
And that's very real, because I do some neuro-linguistic programming. I set my day up the night before. So, but I didn't know that I could ask spirit to slow it down.
Yeah, you have to sometimes.
Well, you guys are awesome, Sauce. Thank you so much. And I adore you and I love you and I honor you and thank you. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right back at you, darling.
Beautiful.